Dear listeners, I would like to preface this podcast going out with the fact that I had forgotten to turn my microphone on. So the audio from my end is absolutely atrocious. I didn't want to record it again just because the conversation was amazing and Lisa's audio quality was even more amazing. So please, I apologize to your ears for the tinniness and the echo. I've tried as best I could to improve it, but it's been a nice little lesson in, you know, making sure that your equipment is turned on correctly and plugged into its appropriate socket. So with that in mind, we'll get on with it and sharing the love.
This is the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we journey around the world, talking with fellow human design enthusiasts, specifically reflectors, as they experiment and navigate their unique design. Today's beautiful conversation is with Lisa. Lisa's a 2-4 reflector with the right angle cross of the Maya. Lisa is still new to experimenting with her human design, although, as we've discovered, she's been living her design for quite some time. And I'm really grateful because she's here to share her journey with us all. And I'm just so very, very honoured, Angel. So thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much, Anne. I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of weeks now, and I can't get enough of it because I've been looking into human design for 4 months now, but it feels like 4 years because I've deep dived into trying to get as much information as I can on reflectors, and there's just not very much out there. And so when I found your podcast, I was like, she's speaking my language, all the people that she's interviewing and the interviewer herself. And so I felt to reach out to you and say, hey, do you want to interview another reflector who's just brand new, a greenie at human design? And so here we are. And I have written a lot of things on my chart.
Totally, she's come prepared, everybody.
Totally super covered prepared. It. So I am new, but I've learned a lot in human design, and it has helped me learn a lot about myself and how I process things and about my family and friends and how I work well with people and how I don't. And so it's opened up a whole new world of understanding that I had previously to human design.
It's so very much like that. And, you know, the more I speak with people, the more it is. It's sometimes when you find something that really you identify with, you're like, I need to know everything.
Right.
So let's talk about you and this discovery. How did you find human design, or human design find you?
Well, I had a friend, his name is Jordan, and he said, have you heard of human design? And I said, no, I've never heard of it before in my life. And I can't believe I haven't heard of it, because I try to dive into all of those self-help, self-discipline, find and refine yourself and define yourself, because I felt like I didn't know who I was. And I said, I would love to figure that out. Like, give me the link and I will try to see what this other program says about me. And it was spot on. And I'm still trying to figure it out, but I have found over my life that it just, the way that I feel the most peace is when I go within and I just listen to my heart. And when I pray and when I ask God, that's when I feel the most myself. And so when it said a self theme and a not self theme, that was speaking my language. And I was like, what is this program, human design? This is amazing. So he referred me to download one of these charts for free. And then he said, my friend, she reads human design charts for free because she's just learning about it. Do you want to, hear what she has to say? And I was like, absolutely. And they got my information and they freaked out because I was a reflector. Like, totally. I was on the phone with them when they both started screaming in the background. And I'm like, what does this mean? A reflector?
We found one.
That's exactly their response. And I was like, uh-oh, what are they meaning? Are they going to try to mind control me now that they found one? What does this mean? So They just started saying all of these things about my chart and it resonated. It was right on. And they said, now I don't know very much information about this or that. I would recommend you go and research it for yourself, research it out. And oh boy, did I. And I was telling all my family and friends about it, everyone who would listen to me. I've printed out everyone's chart in my entire household. There's, let's see, 5, 6, 7, 8 here. All of them are printed out and they all want to know about it. And I'm like, I'm no professional, but I'll tell you what I know so far. So that's how I got into it. It was a God thing. And I'm helping a lot of people, you know, just realize that they don't need a chart to tell them who they are. They don't need all these tools to tell them who they are, but it is fun. Like, it's super fun for a reflector to tell someone else and see them light up. And especially if they're another reflector, which I've only come across one, and that's my mom so yeah. far, but it's still fun.
So I want to talk about that parent, having a parent as a reflector, because the more that we talk with more reflectors, the more sometimes this is coming out. And in some of my research, I'm really starting to study the genetic, the intergenerational kind of like wave. And is there any science behind it? But I digress.
Wow.
I want to take you back, finding human design, being blown by this, obviously getting a little bit of a reading done.
Yes.
Navigating your way through finding some content. Would you mind sharing with this community? Because people, we were just talking off air about this. Sometimes, you know, a lot of people who speak on this podcast, you know, have been quite versed in human design for a while, and they're like, oh, yeah, I went here, here, and here, because they don't want to talk until they know something, which I'm not saying you don't. But it's the navigating through all the content, and it's navigating how do people start this, because we all start it differently. Would you mind sharing how you waded through the content and how you were able to go, no, that's not speaking to me. Yes, this is.
I'm so glad you asked me that, because it's going to be different for everybody, even different for each reflector, I would imagine. So I do feel that because I'm a reflector and I work on the lunar cycle, the 28-day cycle, which also really resonates with me. I have found that there's just 1 week a month that I dive deep into human design. And then the next 3 weeks, I take a break and I go on to something else. And there's a pattern the last 4 months that's how I've done it. And when I dive deep, it's usually sparked by like an inner knowing, like I feel the spirit really strongly to start researching a gate, my incarnation cross, my profile. And these are things I've already researched, but I feel to go deeper on these things specifically. And it's not all of them at the same time. It's a subject. It's just a detail. And that's in my chart, is details about a particular thing. And so I just pray that my angels, my guides will tell me which websites to go to, which YouTubes to watch. And that led me to you, by the way, because I just found you, what was it, like a week ago, would you say? A week or two ago. And I've watched as many as I could since then on your podcast. And so I feel that reflectors, and I think everyone has an inner knowing, but if they go within and they ask their heart to be guided to the right people, places, and things to help them learn about their own human design, that is the most beneficial and that's the most helpful, so they don't get overwhelmed. Because I think that I've gotten really overwhelmed by things, and I don't want to do that anymore, because then I just shut down and then I can't think straight. And so this way, I just got on a certain topic and I would just pray that it would lead me to the right place, and it did. And so I don't know how to exactly answer that, but to just listen to your inner voice, listen to your inner heart, you know, go with the flow. I know it says that we have no inner authority. And when I read that, I was like, that's kind of true, because it's different like we received answers 10 different ways, 10 different times of the month. It's never the same. It's like so multifaceted. And that's what I love is the surprise, right?
Yeah.
But
I believe we do have inner authority. And it is, I call
we
it
do.
Time. I call it time. And time's irrelevant. Like it's not 28 days, it's just time. And that is, right. I always sort of refer to it now as the pause, which I love what you were saying there about taking that breath and going in. That's very much a pause for me. It's like, whoa, because it can be really overwhelming. As you've discovered, and even you putting up that sheet of everything on there, I'm like, whoa, that's really overwhelming.
Look at all these things. Like, I have so many papers that I printed out and wrote all over. It can be overwhelming. That's why I probably only do it 1 week, and then I'm like, okay, I need a three-week break.
It's such sage advice, too, because what a beautiful way to break it all up. And just go, just dedicating this time to this, mm-hmm. so you're not overwhelmed. And even mm-hmm. when you are researching, it's mm-hmm. there is so much information coming at you. So what you were saying there, actually sitting in and just going, where am I being guided to next? And being mm-hmm. and letting that go, letting that be enough.
Right, with the flow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that because we're always guided. And I also love mm-hmm. what you were saying about it's like we're intuitively aware. I always talk about that we're like mushrooms in the world. We just pop up in either people's orbit or where who people need to be in our orbits to be able mm-hmm. to provide what we need if we take the time to listen to the little whispers.
That's exactly right.
The little whispers. Now, with your chart and with you and who you are, as we were saying before, like you are 2-4. And mm-hmm. the 2-4s, you know, the profiles in human design, one, you find out you're a reflector and you're like, wow, what is this? Mm-hmm. And then you go researching that and then you start looking at the profile. Would you like to share with us how that journey has been for you?
Absolutely. So my profile is a 2-4. So the 2 is the hermit and the 4 is an opportunist. And I felt like so this is interesting because I felt for the first 40 years of my life, I just turned 40 in October, and I feel like a shift has happened in my purpose when I was 38. And I feel like the first 38 years of my life, I was more of an opportunist and not much of a hermit. But now it has kind of shifted and I've wanted to be more of a hermit than an opportunist. And I only want like a very, very small core quality community of people. I would say like 8 or less people, you know, and that to me is more like a hermit. And so I think that's because I don't want to spend my energy or my time. And I've heard this from other people on your podcast that there was a shift that happened in 2020 that people are like, okay, I know what I want now. And I know what I don't want now. And I want real friends, real quality, amazing people that are going to help uplift me. And I can help uplift them and we can both ascend together. And that's what I want. That was the shift that took place in 2020 for me. And I feel that that is part of my profile, that it was a total like opportunist in the beginning. And now it's more of a hermit, still a little bit of an opportunist because I do have a lot of community channels, gates channels, whatever they're called in my chart. And I love tribe, the word tribe, community. Like I will kill myself, sacrifice myself for community and tribe. And I would love to do that too for them. And that's like so crazy probably for most people. They would be like, save yourself.
Well, completely open G center. You've got mm-hmm. so many gates that can link up to channels in the tribal and community circuitry in human design. For those playing along at home, that's kind of getting into the advanced levels of it. And people mm-hmm. don't always need to know that. But it is nice to know that that's where your energy is kind of yearning to be. Because even though reflectors don't have channels, I feel that we are, you know, we gravitate towards those that connect to our gates and that form those channels. And so with your design and how all the gates are sitting there hanging, they're reaching out. And so for Lisa, for those playing along at home, she has a lot of community and a lot of tribal, and it's very dominant. It's very dominant in her chart. I love what you're saying there before about, you know, 2020, the year of 2020. Mm-hmm. But also, like for you, it's, or for us, what they talk about a lot is that we're moving from a lot of our south node into our north node. And that also represents mm-hmm. that kind of leaving behind that and coming into your own kind of power. It's good to look at that in our charts as well and just go, well, where is my south node? Or where was my south node? What am I mm-hmm. going towards? I found a lot of healing or a lot of like benefit in getting into that early on and just going, oh, okay, this is, I was over 40 when I found this. So it was like, well, this is the energy that I probably had in my past. This is mm-hmm. the energy now that I'm generating outward a little bit more. Do you find that as well?
I do, Anne, and I'm glad that you brought that up because I asked myself, okay, when was the shift? Because some people say it's 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, somewhere in there. And mine was at 38 during 2020, where I went from gate, the north node was 26 to gate 45 of my, no, my south node was 26 and my north node was 45. So I went from a sacred salesperson to a gatherer, and I'm totally 100%. I was having dreams of gathering people for years and years in 2020. And so I was like, okay, this is my purpose now, you know, the angels were singing and everything. It was really funny.
It is like that too. And just getting back to what you were first saying when we started chatting, it's not, I think sometimes people can be a bit off put by anything that tries to put them in a box, or they think, well, when you mention human design, they might be very much like, oh, no, I don't need anything to tell me who I am. But it's not really telling you who you are, because even though we can share very similar charts, just being a reflector or being the same profile or having very similar gates, we have our own unique flavor and our own unique journey up until that point. So it's, I always sort of say to people exactly what you were saying there. It is, it's a toolkit. It's something that if you can, I always think, if you can get to know yourself just a little bit better,
right,
it's worth it. It's worth having a little look, isn't it? Yeah.
It is worth having definitely a look for myself, even if nobody else cares about it. I want to know myself. I feel like with such an open G center, I've struggled with finding out my purpose and who I am and where I was and where I'm going in life. And this is another tool. It's not my Bible. There's 100 different tools out there that I've used, you know, like a reflector does, right? They are like on fire about one thing for 1 month. And then they're like, oh, that's cool. I'll put that on a shelf for later. And that's just the way life is. Always keeping it fresh, you know.
We can shame mm-hmm. ourselves about that a lot, I think, and that's a conditioned aspect of life, isn't it, where it's not okay for us to explore all these juicy topics in life or be curious about things. So the more I kind of think, just be curious about everything because it's exciting. And that's where we're really getting that hit. And it's like, we don't have to finish everything we start, because it's like taking a sample of a bite of food and it's like, well, I don't really like that, or I did like that, but that's enough for now.
And I do feel you are so correct in the sampling, because when I read that about our aura was sampling, I do feel that I don't dive in deep to people's energy systems, you know, to feel the way deeply, like the way that they feel deeply. I feel that and it's not like I am an unfeeling person. It's just that I don't, and it's not that I'm not empathetic or sympathetic. It's just a different sort of experiencing the world. And I feel that I let things roll off my shoulders a lot better. And I feel like this sort of bubble of protection, if I'm even allowed to say that, even more so than a lot of other people, where they're like, I'm so affected and offended by that person. And I'm like, why? Why are you taking that on to yourself? You know, I don't feel affected and offended by what that person said or did. why are you? Let's work this out together type of thing, you know? So it's really fascinating seeing the sampling and feeling it and realizing, okay, so everyone processes and experiences the world differently with energy. And this is why I'm so different. And this is why I'm alike. Like I'm similar to certain people and different to others, but I do feel the most alike with other reflectors. And but the only person that I know is my mom, and she doesn't care about human design at all. And I don't talk to her that much either, but I would love to meet more reflectors in the community. That would be amazing.
Yeah, wonderful. And I want to take us back to little Lisa. It's always interesting when we take ourselves back to our childhood, which I'm sure you've done.
Oh boy.
Because we do it. And yeah, being raised by a reflector, and now that you know that, again, I can really identify with this, just going, oh wow, it makes a lot of sense. Could you share with us, take us back to little Lisa? How was your life growing up?
I would love to share. So I looked up my charts for my mom and my dad. My mom is a 5-1 reflector and my dad is a 1-3 projector. And I'm not sure what I should say on or off the record, but it was hard. Their marriage was hard. They didn't understand each other. And I think that's because when they were married, they divorced when I was in high school. So the whole time that they were married, looking back, I feel that each of them were living only 50% of their design. And so you could tell that they weren't fulfilled and that they were in their not self, at least 50% of the time. And it helped me because I was able to feel what was going on and say, okay, this doesn't feel right to me. And this does feel right to me. So I want to learn from how this feels good to me. And I want to take that into my aura and into my personality. And I know that this doesn't feel good to me because they were being their not self theme. And I don't want any part of that. And that was really good to learn from my mother because she was a reflector. And so after they got divorced, my mother then started living 95% her human design chart. And after they got divorced, my dad started living 95% his not self, his bitterness. Because,
yeah,
you know, projectors get into the bitterness. And I'm just like, what in the world happened after they divorced, you know? But it was really good to learn and watch my mom live her not self and then start to live her true self. Because when I was in high school and growing up, I said, I never want to be like my mom. And the reason I was saying that is because I felt that she wasn't being authentic. And then when she started living her true self and I started living my true self, and this started back in 2016, then we became best friends because we were both healing and we were both reflectors and we were both living our true self, you know, and feeling and listening to our authorities and learning about ourselves through all these different tools that you were talking about. And it was beautiful. And so it's just like so crazy how that happened. Absolutely crazy.
Were you always spiritual growing up? Like reflector children are, there's a couple of different camps here because we can be really shut down and really, especially with your completely open G, you would have been caught in a wash. But talk to me about your spirituality because I know.
So I've been baptized in 4 different religions. My mom was very religious, Catholic first, then Baptist, then LDS, and you know, the list goes on and on. And I, being a reflector and my mom a reflector, we love jumping, religion hopping, you know, and just tasting all of the different things about how you can connect to God and connect to yourself and love God and love yourself. And so she really helped me to get a nice large taste for all of the different flavors of spirituality and life and religion, and some things could be really good about that and some things could be really bad about that. And so I grew up, my mom was a flowers child. She's a hippie at heart. She will say that and about herself. And I grew up just like her. And I love to say I'm a hippie at heart, just like my mother, because we're living in our true self. And ever since I was 16, I heard very clearly angels, God, you know. And so, yes, to answer a small answer to your big question is yes, I have been pretty spiritual most of my life.
God and the angels. Open head center. Right there. Divine touch. I know it's more than that, but I just kind of go, the divine touch to source. God. It's like,
absolutely.
La, la.
Yes.
Thank you. It can feel like, again, it's a bit of shaming around a lot of these centers. It's like, I don't know about you, but you can get caught in things that don't really matter. But yeah, if you push that aside, it's just like, I feel I can really connect to divinity. I can just
absolutely
be. And us with our completely open G's. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I know, yes, I'm watching you, even your body language. I do this so much. I'm really learned to love and connect to my completely open heart. And I say to people all the time, yes, but it also means that I'm created for more love because there's nothing in the way.
I love that.
My
because
take on it.
Having an open G center, in some not self themes that I have found, it says that they're always trying to seek direction for how to get more love and more direction, and they can't really find it by themselves and blah blah blah. And I'm like, I feel that I found it, you know. I feel these last 4 years I have totally found that, and I don't need anyone else or anything else. All I need is myself. All I need is to go within. And meditation and prayer is the way that I feel the most peace in my life now, especially with all the chaos going on in the world. That's the only way to survive nowadays, you know, really.
I always just say I am just absolute pure love, nothing. Mm-hmm. You've got to remember that sometimes when, you know, everything, life gets thrown at you and you're like, oh, yeah. It's got to. Yeah. Really center that. And that's how I center. I go right in and I mm-hmm. really like take that in and go, you are completely pure of heart. Pure
yeah, there
love.
Was one time I did a heart session and I asked my heart, what are the best words of affirmation that I can tell myself as I look in the mirror? And I got three things. Lisa, you are love. You are light. You are happiness. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to be saying these things to myself in the mirror. This is from my own heart. I better listen.
I am. The I am.
Yep.
Hey.
Yep.
You ran, and I know that everyone does this. I don't know. I love that you did it, and you've got all those charts. So when you found human design, I'm assuming that that's what you've done. You've gone and run everybody's chart who was around mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
And especially with that open G, now that you know that, that's probably why. It's like, who have I been influenced by most of my life? Can we talk about who is in your, or whose charts were you running to have, who have had influence on you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I, all of my, the people that are in my tight circle, and so that would be my best friends and their husbands and even some of their kids. And then that would be also my ex-boyfriends and ex-husband. And so I found out that they were all generators. Everyone that I've ever dated that I have been able to get a hold of their human design chart is a generator with a defined G center. And I'm like, oh, so much sense. Makes complete sense to me, because I felt I was always trying to grasp and reel in, who am I? Like, what have I been? Where am I going? And I need someone else to tell me that, you know, that's what I've been trying to do most of my life. I can see now, you know, in that conditioning, to feel balanced, to feel complete. And now I don't need to do that to feel balanced and complete, because I have all of that within me.
And as a part of that, in your currently, you're married, so do you do you subscribe to any of the recommendations that they say? Do you sleep alone? How is, you know, You're obviously in close proximity.
I'm glad that you asked this question, because I wouldn't have said this if you hadn't asked this question. I started listening to some people saying that it's better that you sleep alone than with your partner. And so I did an experiment, because that's what human design is a big old experiment. And I said, okay, I'm going to imagine that I'm going to protect myself with a reflector bubble. And so I will envision, even though I'm not sleeping alone, I will tell my body and mind and heart that I am sleeping alone and see what happens. And I felt a huge shift and a huge change three times. So I did this experiment three times. And I would say, if I can, that it did feel better sometimes. And other times it felt more disconnected because I was, you know, disconnecting. But the other couple times it did feel better. So I'm wondering if I was taking on something from my husband or whomever, you know, if I do this experiment more often, I wonder what would happen, because I felt a shift. I felt an immediate difference that I was then all by myself. I did feel more peace all of these three times. That was interesting. So that would be my answer. And I'm going to keep experimenting on that. Have you felt a change or a difference if you sleep with someone or not with someone? Do you feel more rejuvenated and energized?
It depends. You know, it really does depend.
Yeah.
And I've been experimenting for some years. So I did the whole I'm doing this. And I really appreciate what you're saying there about disconnection, because it's a conditioned, again, it's conditioning. So we've had to have chats in our marriage about that again, because it was a little bit hurtful. It's like, well, why do you want to sleep apart? And I'm like, I'm trying to explore. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
But there is a separation, because when you've spent this time together, anyway.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I totally
agree.
I love my own space. I really, really love my own space. And there are times where I'm just like, I need to be on my own.
Yes.
But I have found, in summary, yes, I would love to probably sleep alone all the time. But at the same time, I do like that connection. So what I've found is it depends on how I'm faring through the week or the day. So if I've had a lot of contact with him, them, everyone, I've got children in my house, I'm feeling more of a need to retreat.
And I would agree with you.
Empty out, for lack of better words. But if I haven't, if he goes away for work or whatever, it's just like, I like that, because it's like I've got a little gentle hum back in my life. So I don't subscribe to just sleeping alone all the time. I always take it on a case-by-case basis, and how much I need to, I call that, how much I need to rinse, how much I need to just...
And I do believe that if we're living in our self theme, you know, our true self, then we don't have to sleep alone all the time, or even most of the time. We can process that, and we can wash it out and drain the tank or whatever that we need to do. And it is perfect. And just to listen to that inner voice, inner self, inner heart.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're a parent, you've got, but for me, you know, throughout all the years, it's just sometimes you've just got kids on you all the time. And I know the difference. I know the very difference when there's an emotional authority around me. They're the ones that I love to love, but at the same time, it's like, all right, you need to go now. That's one of those. It's not about generators. It's about emotional authority for me. That's how sensitive I am to that defined will. I'm like,
okay.
Ooh.
Yes. I need to look in people's charts then for the emotional and non-emotional. Then that's another thing that I need to look for.
It's the science. And everyone's different in what they need. And especially for you. See, I've got a lot of retreat and a lot of pullback in my design. And I feel that. Whereas yours is, you know, you go the kind of the opposite way, I suppose.
I do. So. I think I am a non-emotional. Does it show in my chart? I think when I researched it, I'm a non-emotional.
Well, we don't have any authority except again.
Oh, that's okay. That's
so we don't
why
have
I
any
can't
of that.
Figure it out.
but you could, I guess you could be, because you've got those two gates in your ego and will center. So, and you've also got gate 45 coming down from your throat. So you've got a lot of things that will light up your will center.
Yep.
It's just sitting there. Yep. So, and if you're around a lot of people, did you say mm-hmm. you've got like 8 people living in your house?
Yes.
Wow.
I have a true tribe. I absolutely love tribe and love community. I've moved around a lot since 2020 because I'm a flower child, right? Yeah. And so I think I was born in the wrong era. You know, I wanted to be a hippie like in the 70s. And so anytime that anyone's like, hey, let's, you know, build a community together and all live on the same property, I'm like, I'm there, you know, totally. So yeah, yep. We are living the dream. I'm living the dream anyway. I don't know how anyone else feels about it.
That's amazing. And I guess because yeah. these are people who are in your current orbit, my yes. terminology there. Do you know just briefly their designs and stuff? Obviously, you've done that.
Yes, I do. So we have one projector. That's a girl. And we have Janet is my best friend. Well, my best friend is also a projector, and Janet is a generator, and my husband's a generator, and we have a projector, 3 generators, I'm a reflector, and then the kids, I believe one is a manifesting generator, the other's a projector, and the other's a generator.
Right.
I think I got all that right.
Yeah, it'd be something. It's just really interesting. It's really interesting to explore who's in your space. And mm-hmm. excuse me.
They said that the projector when Misty was learning about her type, she really loved, because projectors love to dive in deep and to yeah. figure out all of the different dynamics of all the different people that are in the community. And she said, this is going to help me so much, and my husband so much, and the kids so much. And it really did. They came back and said, Lisa, this has really changed our dynamic on how we invite people, you know, in the conversations, and how they invite by them responding. Or whatever it is. I don't know. She figured it out, and it was the best thing ever. It was like a key that she had to unlock all these locks that were closed, all these doors that were closed to her before.
And also, yeah, I understand. I always love it because of the work that I do, but parenting by design, like, you know, navigating our little people and understanding that we're all so very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially and projector children versus generator children.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and these kids are 7, 8, don't quote me on this, and 3, and they are telling me, Lisa, you know what design that I am? And I'm like, what? And they're like, I'm a generator. And the other one's like, I'm a projector. And I was like, cool, do you know what that means? And they're like, well, not really, but we're learning about it. And I'm like, yes, I wish I knew that at 7 and 8.
As we always say, though, like, I don't know about you, I'd love to hear, but I sometimes will say, I wish I knew this earlier.
Yeah.
But the truth is, I would not have heard this. I would not have been able to bring it into my being. I just wouldn't. I would have half-assed it, you know?
Yeah. Well. It's perfect timing when it was brought into our life, because now we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah. Well, in that case, with you having all of those people in your home, I hope you are getting to have a lot of time for yourself and be honored and
I am.
Needing that. Yeah.
Yes. And once I learned about how a reflector, and my profile is a 2-4 hermit opportunist, I realized that I do need about a half an hour to 45 minutes of alone time or meditation or prayer every day, like with my door shut, totally away and disconnected, as we talked about. And it really makes a huge difference if I don't do that. And it's not like I have to do it at the exact time every day. It's not like I have to do it in the morning or the noon or the night, but I just work better doing it at night for some reason. I don't know why, but around 9, 10 o'clock at night. Yeah, that really works for me.
Chart to just wonder.
Yes.
Because it's another deep dive, and it's in the variables.
What does my chart say?
I was just going straight there going, oh, okay, that's interesting. I was just wondering whether you had indirect light, but you have direct, apparently direct determination, so it doesn't matter.
Does that mean I need more scheduled times? I don't know what it means.
This is just the variables, and it's where those arrows go in the deep dive
Oh, the
into those
arrows, yeah.
arrows.
Okay.
So it's the deeper dive, and that's how you get a lot of that determination in your cognition. And so for
Yeah.
you, it's like your cognition is smell, your environments is markets, external, and direct. I've got inner vision, indirect light. And the inner vision, that's why I was quickly looking, going, I wonder if you have
Yes.
indirect light too, because I work in very dimly lit places,
Oh, wow.
to the point over the my life, if there is sharp light on me, like, the fluoro lights, I get really stressed. And I never knew why. I live by candlelight. I live by, so at night when the kids go to bed, everything gets turned off. It's very
Yeah.
frustrating for my family because they like light. I like to wait around in the dark like I'm in a cave. So things like this just fascinate me because it's like I've always been this way.
Yeah, and I don't like indirect light. I like very bright light, neon. I mean, like, I'm wearing very bright colors. My shoes are super bright. Everything that is about, what I wear and how I talk and my personality is very loud and bright, So that's me.
I love that because that's true acceptance of self, just to go,
It
this is,
is.
and again, referencing back, this is one of the benefits of human design. It's just like it's a validation to just go, it's okay for me to be me. It's totally okay for you to be you. We're all just beautiful little special snowflake.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
We've been going for a while. I'd like to sort of like slowly wrap this up, but something I'd really
Okay.
like to ask you, if I may, is helping reflectors discover human design. I talk about it a lot. I know that there's a lot of reflectors in the space are really actively trying to support us a lot more. But for you and your journey, what do you wish that you could have had?
So I feel that I have had everything that I needed. And so for other reflectors, I would recommend, so this is how I felt supported, is because I had a couple people that have been learning human design for at least a year or two that I could call and text and ask questions about and have as a sounding board. And then I also had my community, my husband, who doesn't really care about human design, but he'll humor me with me learning about his human design, and that helps me learn about human design anyway. And all of the people in my community not just were like, oh yeah, that's great, and then the next day they didn't care about it. They kept coming and asking me about questions, and they kept asking me if I could print out more stuff on it and what the best places to go for it. And I kept saying, hey, you could do AI. So they went to AI and found a lot of information really quickly within 2 days that it took me 2 weeks to find. They could go that route. I went to Jovian Archive. I went to, I would say, Facebook reflector groups, and I got into five groups, I believe, and that was helpful, just reading the questions that other reflectors had and then reading the comments and commenting myself when I did not feel overwhelmed, because it's a little bit overwhelming with some of those Facebook groups with reflectors. And the Facebook group with the human design, just regular human design that has, like, I don't know, 20,000, I don't know how many people that it has on it, but that helped me a lot. But there's a friend that I talk to once a week that's in Belgium that I met on a human design Facebook group that has really helped me a lot. And so shout out to him. Thank you so much for helping me, because he felt inspired by the spirit to reach out to someone and help them if they had some questions, and that was me. And so I think that the universe, if you just put it out into the universe, you'll know where you should be led to. You'll know the people to talk to, and you'll be able to feel out, because reflectors are really good at feeling who's open, who's receptive, and who's not, and who's authentic and genuine about wanting to help us with these things and who's not. And so that's my experience, is Facebook. That really helped me. And then YouTube videos on reflectors, like this podcast. Yeah. That really helped me the most, I would say.
Yeah, there is a lot of information out there. So thank you
so much.
So much.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to, you'd like to share? You've shared some beautiful wisdom already. Anything you'd like to share to your fellow sisters and brothers?
Yes, I would actually. I was looking over my notes and I feel that I don't need them. I'll just speak from the heart. So, with conditioning and deconditioning, I would say that no matter what design that we are loved, you know, and we are love and we are loved. We love one another and we love nature and we love God. And that as long as we listen to that inner voice and be authentic and just do the things that make us happy and make us joyful and keep on going on that path instead of the things that make us, well, for a reflector, disappointed, then that will be the key to happiness. That will be the key to purpose. That's what I have found, to feel totally at peace more than I've never been happier in my entire life. And it was because in 2020, I started living my true authentic self, and I didn't need human design to do it or really any other tool other than to just go within and say, Lisa, you are loved no matter what. You are loved for the good, the bad, the in-between. I love you no matter what you have done and no matter what you will do. And that was a total healing process of my shadows and everything about me. And that has brought me to this point and brought me to this wonderful community of people that I live with. And this is my dream. I'm living my dream right now. And I'm an energy healer, and I'm taking a traditional naturopathy program and learning plant medicine. And I'm doing it. I am doing all the things that I absolutely love. And I am a survivor of all kinds of abuse. And so I know that no matter what anyone goes through, they can rise above and become light and love and joy and happiness. That's what I would say.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. You're going to make me cry. I'm really feeling that love and that open-heartedness right now. Thank you so much, Anne, for bringing me on here to speak my truth.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing when reflectors gather together, because we really, you can get into a really deep space of connection.
And I feel it.
You felt it. Yeah. It's beautiful. And it is an open-hearted space. I know we always say, where can we reach out and where can we connect with you? And off air, we were talking about this beautiful community that you're working with. If you would like to share that, you may. If you don't, that's okay too.
Yes, I would love to share that. Yeah. So I don't have a website yet, but I live with an amazing, and work day in and day out with an amazing community and group of people. And so you can go to gospelgrowth.org, and we can put that in the details below, the link below, and that's going to bring you to a landing page that can bring you to my husband's website. And because I work with Janet and I work with my husband and I work with so many amazing people on all these different projects that we were pulling all together to be authentic, to learn who we are and our authentic selves. And so, yeah, if you want to find more about who I am and what I do and the people that I love to love, then please check that out.
You are a gift to the world, Angel. Thank you so very much. Thank you for sitting in space with me, sharing you. And it's a true testament that, you know, you may have only recently discovered human design, but you've grasped more of living authentically and experimenting than some people have spent in years. So time is not a thing.
And
doesn't
that's
matter
so
how
true.
Many years you've spent studying or doing, or how many qualifications you've got in human design, is a lived experience. And so just want to honor you in this and say thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Anne. Thank you.
I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay.